Good morning. This is a conversation between Kurt Walzer and Cheryl Spaulding for Joseph's People. This morning, Kurt, I thought we would deal with a phenomenon that I came across recently. It involved people who, basically, they're living in a place that there are no jobs. They're not able to get work. They are apparently unwilling to leave. But what I can't understand is what is holding them to a place that doesn't appear to me to be giving them good things. They're not living well physically. They can't find work, and yet they're totally unwilling to move on and move out. Thoughts?
Obviously, our listeners, if you are a person like that, if you start to reflect, you will know the answer. The answer is within you. Why do I stay here? And who says that you have to? Then the other question is, you know, depending how old you are, if you are a young person, it could be fear of the unknown. But if you have lived already several years, maybe you're in the mid-40s or older, you evaluate your life and you ask yourself, what have you learned, what have you gained, and is this all there is to it? And if it's miserable, ask yourself, why stay in it? Then you need to develop a vision of what would you like. I talk to many people who know what they don't like.
Oh, but they're not so sure about
what
they do
like.
But
they have never thought what would be nice, or they have such unrealistic visions, you know, like winning the lottery. Well, good luck. We know what the odds are that you win it, so you wait until that chance might happen. And when it happens, most people are ruined by it anyway. They don't know what to do. So it's a state of mind. You know, we are creatures of habits. Well, I used to ask people, you know, and I noticed that too as a counselor. They were in very difficult situations. And I questioned, why don't you move? And just the idea of moving again, they haven't really thought about it. And they depend on things which are really killing them. You know, like a person who grew up in famine or difficulty, the only thing they had breadcrumbs and home-cooked soup, watery soup. And they have fond memories of it because it kept them alive. But as times change, you might try other foods which are better for you. The food is first for the real body. But it can also be food for our well-being as a person. So they continue to eat that miserable, destructive soup because they have fond memories of it. And we as human beings have the capacity to be self-destructive. Animals are much smarter, except domestic animals. They lost their sense of survival. Like if you have dogs, you could be give my dog chocolate, it would eat it,
exactly.
It would die. But in the wild, they would destroy themselves. So for some reason, we have the capacity to get attached to self-destructive things, which for some reason we know and is accustomed to. And the same thing, we imprison ourselves, because I talked to some prisoners who says they got adjusted to prison.
Right.
But when they had all the freedom they couldn't adjust. So they wanted to go back to jail, which was knowable and predictable. For each person, it's kind of different. And you mentioned that example. I don't know if it's confidentiality you want to share with a person who said, well, you can say no.
No. I'll share.
That would be a nice example.
No, I can relate that. I can say it for people to understand. I had a woman who came to me at one of the sessions and said they wanted her to take a job that she didn't want. And when I said who they were, she was talking about the people at the Career League. And my response to it was, well, tell them no. And her response, which is what shocked me, was, well, they won't like that. She seemed genuinely surprised that she had the right to say no. So, like, no, you can say no. They can't force you to take the job. And then when she came back at the next session, she thanked me because she said, I told them no, and I've since gotten a job that I like. And it was as if she needed somebody to give her permission to say no, which I didn't understand because I don't come from that position. And I think it's difficult for many of us to see why people stay in a situation that we would not stay in. I've often said about myself, I have a very low tolerance for pain. If I'm in a situation that I find painful, I'm going to move on or move out. I'm going to find a way out of this because I just don't tolerate pain for long or well. And so when I see somebody who stays in a circle of pain and misery, I understand how painful it is.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is why they don't crack out of that circle, because why would anybody want to stay in that circle and be miserable all the time? Life is short. I just don't understand it.
But the other story, and he said then that person had the choice of maybe moving to
Georgia.
Same
woman. Yeah, the same woman.
She had some kind of a vision where she would like to be.
Yeah, she did. She said she had family in the South, in Georgia, in fact. And she said, you know, I have a sister there, and I don't like where I'm living. It's not nice, and it's a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And I could move there, because she goes down there for a month in the summer. And I'm like, well, move. You have no children. You know, you're not stuck here. You have no great job. And she's like, well, I might do that. But again, it's that permission. It's somebody giving you permission to do what you do want to do. And you're not talking about a kid. This is a full-grown 45, 50-year-old person. For a kid, I can...
For
a young, young person, I understand that. But I don't know whether she will ultimately do it or not. But it's that whole...
But that says she feels she would have a choice.
Yes.
Of course, when, you know, our most memorable experiences are when we are children. And of course, as children, we do need adults' protection because we don't have the capacity to make some good judgment of dangers. And then later on, hopefully, we are adults and we are on our own. Have we developed a little bit some judgments? Or are we so fearful that, well, what would happen to us?
Well, the key difference that I see, Kurt, is as you grow out of needing somebody to make the decision for you, you're going to make the decision. And you're sometimes going to make some lousy decisions. I've made some lousy decisions.
Yeah.
We've all made some pretty lousy decisions in our time. But then when you've made the lousy decision, you go, this was a lousy decision, and you move out. What happens to some of these people that I find troubling and don't understand is they've made the lousy decision, but they don't move out. Now they're locked in to a lousy decision that they made.
And I guess the other thing is what I also have found, people are terrified to be alone and to be with somebody, although that body is abusing you and tortures you.
The abusive spouse type thing.
Well,
yeah.
whatever. Or people you are with who are bad influences.
Yeah.
You know, they encourage you to take drugs and alcohol and steal and all kinds. You are with that environment, and I know the addiction treatments is very strong. You've got to leave those.
Mm.
And the biggest difficulty is to have come family and familiar and to leave that. There's nothing there.
Right.
Although the nothingness wouldn't hurt you, but something is missing. So there is that attachment to destructiveness, and it feeds certain parts in us. Obviously, it feeds the addiction because you need something. So there is an element of, in a certain aspect, are fed. But if you want to develop goodness, you've got to leave some of that bad stuff. Even the Bible says you can't serve two masters.
Right.
Which one you serve? And the one you stop serving is going to put a guilt trip on you or whatever.
Do you think there's a religious component to this? Because one of the things that I notice is, for some people, the response to religion is, well, I accept where I am and what's going on, because this is what God plans for me.
I think there is a lot of things.
When I don't see that. See, I don't feel...
Well, but you see, that's the strong... Well, the wrong. I mean, who am I to pontificate? But... I would say I looked into all religions and especially some religions says it's fate.
Yeah, see, I don't.
It's fate or it's destiny or it's God's will. And that's tricky. That mind can pull a trick on us. If everything is predestined, why would we be born to realize our conscience?
Right.
Everything is just, you know, I mean, especially in the Islamic fundamentalistic areas, everything is written, it's destiny, and they just, whatever happens to you has nothing to do with you, with your bad choices, because man is born free. We can choose between good or evil.
And see, I don't believe, personally, that God wants you to be miserable.
No, I mean,
why would you create a creature that you want to be miserable?
What kind of a God would he be? I mean, he's supposed to be all-loving God. I mean, even a parent, why would you want your children to be miserable? Especially if you imagine a loving parent. They want us to do well, but we also want them to have freedom. I think there is good and evil, and both have to exist to know the difference. If there wouldn't be day or night, we wouldn't know what the day is.
Right. True.
So we are given capability to sort things out, but if we choose not to use the capability of thinking or sorting things out or learning or observing, and children usually still have that natural curiosity. I remember my kids, they always ask why. Why is this? Why is this?
Yes. Why?
And they ask profound existential questions, which are uncomfortable to think about. You know, why do I die? Or why does my rabbit die? Where do they go? What happens to it?
Right.
Or even in the airplane. What if the thing really goes down? What happens to us?
And was one person meant to die? Was everybody meant to die?
You know, and how can we use the life vest if the plane goes down in the ocean? We're so high up. We have to have a clear mind to observe and think about it. And the interesting thing is, I guess I'm now old and I have used the capability and you learn a tremendous amount. I mean, do I want every day just eat and sleep and go to the bathroom and hopefully I do it for 150 years? Or what is my reason to be here, you know, to figure out what is a worthwhile life? And every person has that opportunity, but once we ruin our brains with intoxicants, then we can't figure it out. That tool is gone. Or even we have a conscience. Where does the conscience come from? That's just given to us. I mean, it's innate. Even the people who don't believe in a power or some kind of a God, if they run into an accident, they call, my God, oh my God. Or even the guy says, thanks God I'm an atheist. So there is a natural thing in us.
To know that there's something else out there.
There is, because we are created by some power and everything around us, and if we just start thinking about it, it's a natural state, actually.
But if your life is guided by, doesn't matter what you think or do, it's all decided.
Yeah, because
because
I used to say, you know, when you are in the river has a current. If you don't use any power in yourself, you're just floating where the current gets you. And if the current gets you stranded on a spot, well, whose fault it is? Because you were just driven by a current and you never thought that you had some power. Like that person, she thought she didn't have the power to say yes or no.
Which
and this country, of course, in some countries, you are so restricted through governments or religions that you're not even allowed.
You really wouldn't have the power.
Well, or they even kill you if you do something different. But in America, you still have the freedom to be. And even the Constitution allows you, which is the greatest setup, to be happy.
What a word.
You know, I mean, that is...
Yeah, what a word to put in the document, right?
Sorrow and happiness, it exchanges, you know. If I love ice cream, I'm very happy when I have it, and I'm sad when I don't have it.
Very, very close to it.
So anyway, the idea is to really encourage people to ask themselves the question, why do I settle for this, and who says so? I mean, and of course we can say, God says it. Well, how do you really know God, and how God thinks? That's pretty arrogant. I guess maybe that's the answer, is reflect and think. You are born free.
Yeah, you are born free. And you do have the right to be happy and to have a positive life. Thank you, Kurt.